A great Zen master once said, "From the bathtub to the bathtub, I have uttered nothing but nonsense." What he means by those bathtubs is the bathtub that we're washed upon when we are first born, and the bathtub that we are washed upon after we die and are placed into the ground or into the fire. From the cradle to the grave, everything in between is, I don't know, it's a roller coaster ride. I know that much. Roller coaster ride. Sometimes you're got your hands way up in the air and you can't think of a better place to be. Screaming at the top of your lungs as you go through the loopy loop and you're upside down. And then other moments you're scared and you're ready to barf. From bathtub to bathtub. But there are a lot of things in between. I'm going to talk about a couple of those things and how I feel about them or what I've learned. Childhood. Childhood is, anybody that's listening to this is most likely out of their childhood. But childhood is something that we must all look back at sometimes. All those pictures, or I guess nowadays generations, all those files of pictures that your parents have taken of you, go back and look at them every once in a while and realize that no matter how broken your life may seem now, you were once just filled with amazement and wonder and imagination. Everybody, it doesn't really matter who it is, the worst person in the world to the nicest person in the world. Everybody was a child once. Everybody was innocent at one time. And I think it's important for us to go back and look at that sometimes. I carry around a picture of myself as a baby, and I look at it every so often. And it's good to reflect. I can't remember nearly as much as I could from my younger years about my childhood, but I still remember faint things. I'm still blessed enough to be able to see my father walking in the front door from a hard day's work, him coming over and playing with me, my mother making me mac and cheese on a cold day, my sisters and brothers selfishly spoiling me and treating me well. I'm lucky and I'm blessed to be able to still remember those things. Don't ever forget your childhood. Like I said, no matter how bad you think your life is now, if you want to pick yourself back up, go take a look at those pictures. Sometimes, and it's not something that I should be doing while I drive around in the van, but every once in a while I'll drive by a playground and I'm amazed by just watching little kids run around without a care in the world. And I don't park my van in front of the school because that would be a bad idea. But it's always interesting. You know, children are amazing. Children are amazing. Remember that. If you're older, remember that it's your responsibility as an adult, whether it's to your own child or to another child. It's your responsibility to realize that they're just filled with curiosity. They're not trying to be a pain in your ass. They don't know. They haven't learned yet. So it's our responsibility to teach them. Teach them well. Things may change. Then comes later adolescence. Teenagers. Once the innocence is gone, new horizons. Different. I remember my teenage years. I remember, 10, 12. Like I said before, I remember some things from when I was younger, but I definitely remember, most of my teenage years. To be a teenager, is like being on that roller coaster and you're all excited. I'm not 10 anymore. I'm not 11. I'm not 12. I'm a teen now. And it's got a little bit of superiority to it. You can act a little tougher, You're still a little kid at heart. But it's the part of the ride where you're all excited to be there. But there are definitely some times that roller coaster turns real too quick and you get a little scared. Being a teenager is hard because you're forced to start realizing that, hey man, even at 13, you're not too far away from being an adult, and you got to start really taking things seriously. I cannot stress how important education is when you're in your teenage years, or even when you're 12 or 11. I cannot stress it. I mean, not trying to diss my 10-year-olds and all them younger out there, but education through the fifth grade is important, but they don't really teach you much. And education in your high school and middle school years during your teenage years, they don't really teach you anything either. So they don't teach it like they should. But unfortunately, a lot of people that are in that system, the school system, they don't take their job as seriously as they used to anymore. You can't really blame your teachers, guys, because it's our fault. It's our fault as a society that we don't pay our teachers more and they care less. Sad. I don't want to get off on that. I'm just saying education is vastly important. And it doesn't have to be just the education from schools. You need to read. You know, I never pretty much read all my life until just recently. And I'm a high school dropout. And I don't advocate or tell kids to drop out of school. Some scenarios it may work better for you, and some scenarios it won't. But if it's a free education and you can get it, then get it. But also read. Don't take another man's word as truth. Your teachers can tell you things and tell you how history may have gone according to their textbooks, but it's your responsibility to find out if they're absolutely correct about that. And in order to do that, you have to read for yourself. I know reading's boring. That's why I never did it. Once you start finding things that you're actually looking for, it's different. And I cannot stress this enough either. I'm sorry, but you guys are very lazy when it comes to the information you have. I wish I had Google or anything that was even like Google back then. You know, to be able to open your phone and go, hey, what was the Civil War really about? And then have it literally tell you with either a video or, you know, a webpage or anything. You're very lucky. So utilize that. In your teenage years, education should be number one. If you're having a hard time, you have to do whatever you have to do to get over that hard time. If you stay bottled up, if you know you're having a hard time and you stay bottled up about it and don't ask for help, then nobody's going to help you. That's not how it works. If you need help, you have to ask for help. So that's my number one rule for a teenage years, is you need to focus on your education, whether it's from the school or through yourself. Teenage love. Mid-adolescent love, you know, I believe my first love ever was probably like when I was 8, so it's around those ages, but teenage love brings it into a different thing because you're forced into the boyfriend-girlfriend mode, and it's not just about your first kiss or anything, but it's about other things that you're peer-pressured into by others around you. And listen, don't be in a rush to have sex. Okay, there'll be plenty of time for that. I don't think I've ever met anybody that's ever told me that their first time was a special time, because everybody just did it in high school and they don't remember anything about it. And it really is a special moment. And I don't mean to sound old-fashioned, but it is one of those things that I think some of the churches got it right. I do think people should wait till they're married. I think it would make it more special, but maybe I'm just being old-fashioned. Teenage love, it's going to come, it's going to go. You're going to get hurt. You're going to get let down. You're going to hurt others. You're going to let down others. It's just going to be something you're going to have to learn about. You'll never get it right. Love is romantic love. I'm not saying regular love is easy either. Love, to be loving is not easy. But romantic love, especially young romantic love, it's a disaster. It's chaos, but it's awesome. It's awesome. I still get butterflies in my stomach at 50 thinking about the first girl I ever seriously dated or anything and hung out with. Those are the kind of moments that you want to make them special so that you feel them 40 years later. Besides love is friendship. Usually you will decide the type of friends that you will have for the remainder of your life through your childhood years. You will find out the kind of friends you want to have at 50 when you're 15. You will base your mind and your heart will figure out, okay, this is the kind of friend I want when you're 15. And even once that friend is gone, later on you'll lose that friend. And when you're 50, you'll gain a new friend and you'll say, this guy reminds me a lot of Sean from when I was a kid. It's very important to be not picky with your friends, but very selective. And I'm not saying you should befriend as many people as you possibly can. One of the greatest things I loved about me being young was that I could hang out with just about anybody. And I did. I hung out with all different walks of life. And I think it's the reason I'm the man I am today, because I got to see both sides. I hung out with the rich kids. I hung out with the poor kids. I hung out with the rock and roll kids. I hung out with the rap kids. I hung out with white kids. I hung out with black kids. You know, I hung out with everybody. And I was accepted. Because I never played a certain card. I never tried to be somebody I wasn't. I just said, hey, this is who I am, and can I hang out with you guys? And it was cool. I have a lot of friends that I met back when I was a young kid, and some of them I still talk to sometimes. Unfortunately, not as much as I probably should, and that's my fault. I mean, the phone works both ways, but that's my fault as well. But what I'm getting at is, when I meet somebody now, that I don't know from a hole in the wall, I try to see what their characteristics are like. And if their characteristics are like any of the things that I saw in my friends from my childhood or my early adulthood, I can trust that person if they show any kind of characteristic that resembles one of my friends. There's one friend that I'll bring up because he'll never hear this. His name is Jason Theriault. Jason Theriault, to this day, he's probably one of the only people that I actually watch his Facebook page. I don't really care about anybody else's Facebook page, but Jay always has uplifting Facebook posts. Jay Theriault, when we were kids, was a good dude. He was always a stand-up dude. I mean, he was the dude that you would call him, hey man, I'm stuck like in some city 15 miles away or even 100 miles away, and that dude would come get you. And I haven't hung out with Jason Theriault in probably 30 years. But I'm betting you, if I went down the road, wrote down and called right now, that kid would come get me. So that's the kind of guy he was. That's the kind of family his whole family was. His brothers were the same way. It's important to find guys like Jason Theriault. I can't stress that enough. You don't have to say hi to him every day. You know, and as you get older, you'll go your separate ways. But it's important that somehow you stay connected. When you're in your teenage years, you should definitely have respect. You should start understanding and building respect and understand completely what being respectful and earning respect means. Respect is someone that sees something in you that is honorable, that makes you different than others. Learn, I'm not going to sit here and go into it, learn what the word respect means and earn it and give it where it's due. Never disrespect somebody, even if you don't like that person, even if you don't find them respectful, do not directly disrespect them. Do your very best never to disrespect anybody, especially based on their culture, their society, their gender, their creed, their color. It's not your place. That's judgment. Don't disrespect. Respect your elders. Respect those that came before you. Because no matter how hard you think it is as a teenager, we have all gone through it as well. And like I said, we didn't have the luxuries that you guys have. And I know that sounds silly, and I know you've heard it before. Well, I didn't have that when I was a kid. And when I was your age, somebody said the same thing to me. Well, I didn't have that when I was a kid, but it's true. So I'm not saying that it's easy to be a teenager in 2024 any more than it was easy to be a teenager in 1991. But respect your elders. Respect those. Say you find a friend like Jay Theriault, or you find other friends that you respect and you love and you have an admiration for, you respect that friendship. You don't break it. You don't lie to your friends. You stay honest with your friends. If you're not honest with your friends, that's not a friendship. It's as simple as that. Respect their parents. If you come in contact with their parents, or if you're invited to their house to stay over or anything like that, you make sure you respect those parents. I was fortunate enough to have people like Jay Theriault's mother and John Iliffe's mother and plenty of other mothers that would watch over me like I was their own. They would feed me. If my father kicked me out of the house and I needed a place to go, they would be there for me. Respect that. Don't take advantage of it. You're going to have to start thinking about your adulthood because it's coming up. You're in your later teen years now. I understand getting your license and all that's important, and you should definitely do whatever it takes to have those experiences and be safe doing it. Getting a license is a privilege. Remember that. You're not owed anything. Nothing is owed to you. Just because you pass 12th grade or 10th grade or you turn a certain age, it's not a reward. These things that will start coming to you as you get older are privileges. Respect that. Driving a car is a huge responsibility, not only for your own safety, but for the safety of others. Make sure that you pay attention, not only to those around you, especially your elders who you most likely are not listening to, which is what I did. I cannot say how many times now at 50 I say to myself, man, that guy was right. That guy, whoever I'm talking about, told me something when I was 16. I probably didn't really listen to him. I put it in the back of my head. And then at 50, I went through that experience, and that guy was absolutely right the whole time. Do your best to listen to your elders, even if it sounds like, you know, junk or it just sounds like random information you're never going to use. Believe it or not, when people tell you stuff, it's because they've been through it themselves. Respect your elders. I'm lucky, I'm blessed that my parents taught me that. It's very important. Someday you will be an elder. Remember that. You're going to start noticing things. And that's what I was saying before the respect your elder thing is that you have to start, you have to let your mind will always grow. It will always be curious. I'm just as curious at 50 as I was at 5. Sometimes I walk around in this world and I act like a child. And I thank God every day that I can think that way. Don't ever stop asking questions and don't ever stop being curious. Always find out why. Like I said, you have the world at your fingertips with these cell phones. If you have a question, ask it. But you're going to start thinking. And something that I did when I was younger was I would start thinking about how things didn't seem to make sense. Why was it done this way? It's not helping people. I was, in a way, becoming a young revolutionary, and I wanted to fight the system, but I gave up on it. Because somebody told me, it is what it is, and it can't be changed. Something along those lines, eventually it just stuck. And I decided I won't fight for anything. Don't make the same mistake I did. The only people that will ever be able to change the way this world is going are our young. The young, it's up to the young. That's, I can't stress that enough. The only way that this world will change is by you guys realizing what's going on around you and not just putting that problem to the back of your head and going back to watching TikTok, but by actually finding ways to do something about it. Uniting with other children, other teenagers, other young adults, and saying, we don't have to do it the same way they did. We're now walking into a presidential election where two men are running for the White House that are both above the age of 80, and neither one of them can remember their names on good days. That is how my generation and the generations before me have handled the situation. It is your turn to change the situation. Stand up for things that you believe in. As an older teenager, as a young adult, realize that your voice is just as important. Don't let an adult tell you that your voice isn't important at 14 or 15. 100 years ago, a 13 or 14-year-old person was working in mills. They were working the fields, picking cotton. Some countries, they were going to war. The Hebrews, at 13, their boys become men. That's what a bar mitzvah is. He becomes a man. Because 100 years ago, 200 years ago, 2,000 years ago, 4,000 years ago, a 13-year-old was a man. Just because society now tells you that you're a child doesn't mean it's absolutely true. If you act childish, you are a child. If you can act like an adult as a child, you can still have fun. You can still be that rambunctious child. But if you can think like an adult, you'll master this game. You'll start noticing things around you. Your brain will start functioning in different ways, and you'll start noticing things, and you'll ask why. Continue to ask why until either you or someone else can come up with an answer. And then use every power that you can safely that doesn't hurt another soul or yourself and change that problem. Never think that you can't do something. Even if they tell you, you'll never be able to do it. Your grades are too low. You come from this neighborhood. You're this color. You're from this religion. Blah, 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 blah. There's been many a times that that has been proven wrong. Not enough, unfortunately, though, because a lot of us believe it. Somebody tells us, oh, no, you're a high school dropout. You have no future. And you believe it. And I know that for a fact because that's what I believed. And so I never looked at college or anything like that. Yes, I was a high school dropout, but I got a GED. I could have went to college, could have done all that stuff, but I didn't do it. There was all, well, you're not going to be able to afford it. How are you going to afford to go to college? Well, there's plenty of grants out there, but nobody wanted to tell me that. But I didn't look either. I just gave up. Don't give up. There's plenty of ways out. You're going to start thinking. You're going to start seeing. One of the best advices I can give any young adult or any young teenager is this. Keep your mouth shut, your eyes open, and your ears open. Understand what's going on around you and analyze that data. Try not to slip in between one side and the other to believe this guy, to believe that guy. Try to come up with your own conclusions and see if there's a way that you can help. Understand that some of the most important years of your life will be in your teenage years. Like I said, have fun. Enjoy the roller coaster. But also realize that you're getting closer and closer to having to do more for not only yourself, but society. Explore as you get older. Explore the world. Explore anything you want. Do the things you travel is what I'm getting at. The biggest problem with America and most problems around the world, America so much being that we all hate each other, is that none of us experience each other's culture. See, we think that the guy in California lives just like the guy in Massachusetts, but it's not true. It's different cultures. Just like if you were to go to Spain, they live different than we do. If you were to go to South Korea, they live different than we do. If you go to Russia, they live differently than we do. It's a different culture. It's a different society. It's the same way with states. Travel your country. Before you bitch about your country, or even before you prop up your country and talk about how great it is, go see it. Go see the problems of your country, but also the beauty of your country, the beauty of the people. If you learn the lessons of respecting your elders and how to be respectful, you can walk up to any elder in any other city in this country and say, "Ma'am, sir, would you tell me a little bit about your town? Have you lived here all your life?" And they will share a wealth of knowledge with you that you will never find in a book. Don't just be a member of society. Explore society. As you get older, you're going to have to start focusing on your career and what you're going to do. And you're going to worry. And you're going to say, "Well, I want to be this, but I don't know if I can be it because, you know, it doesn't seem like the odds are in my favor." Like I said, you can do and be whatever you want. Don't let them tell you you can't. But at the same time, don't sit there and procrastinate and worry too much about the better job, for the better car, for the better house and all that, because I know guys at 18 didn't know what the hell they wanted to do for a living for the rest of their life, and I know guys at 50 that don't know what they want to do for the rest of their life. I still want to go back and be an astronaut, so let's see. Eventually, they're going to need a 7-foot astronaut. Maybe I'll get that job. Don't be in a rush to figure that out. Yes, you need to make a living somehow. That's unfortunately the way the world works. You need to make money, but you don't need to make all the money in the world to be a happy person. Anybody that tells you so, they're lying. There's plenty of people out there that'll tell you you're only the strong survive and only the strong are happy. Nobody's happy. Money will never make anybody happy. It may make you happy for the moment, but it won't make you always happy. It's not like rich guys wake up every day extremely happy. I'm sure plenty of them do, because they got a lot of fear in the world, but it doesn't mean that they don't have the ups and downs like the rest of us. Do not worry about making money. Worry about finding something that you love doing and do that. Find a job, find a career, and something that you actually enjoy. You like fish? Become a marine biologist. Marine biology is a little too hard for you? Open up a fish store and sell fish. And that way you can help other kids figure out that they like fish. You like technology? Create something. Create a program. Create a program that's going to help people and see if you can make money off of it. You like exploring? Go start taking a hiking class and hiking training program and open up your own hiking school. There are plenty of people out there that start companies all the time and they go broke and they don't make any money from it. And then they say, "Oh, well, that you can't live off your dreams." It's not true. Problem with a lot of people that start companies off their dreams is they'll start a company, say a lady that likes to sew blankets, wants to make a company out of it. Her problem is that she's trying to make a bunch of blankets so she can make a bunch of money. Make just enough blankets to make just enough money to survive. As long as you're happy with what you're doing, that's all that matters. That's your wealth right there. If you need to make so many blankets that you can go out and buy a $120,000 car, then you're not making blankets for the right reason. I know plenty of people that are pretty well off. They're in good situations and they're doing what they love doing and they deserve it. But they didn't do it for the money. They did it because they loved doing it. They loved working with their hands. They loved being outside. They loved being inside. They loved helping people. And those companies eventually flourished and made money and gave them better things because they had the passion for the overall object. And the overall object was the thing that they loved doing. You can be and do anything you want. And you can make money doing it, or you can do it without money. Never allow another man to tell you what you should be. They can make recommendations. They can give you their opinion. They can say, "Hey, you'd be really good at this." But make sure that it's in your heart, your own heart, that that's what you want. Don't do it just because it's expected of you. The biggest problem with us when we go through our teenage years and especially our early adulthood is that we worry so much about what other people will think. We try to live up to their standards and not our own standards. And that's where we get lost. And that's where the rest of our life after our 30s starts getting blurry and we can't figure out why nothing seemed to have gone the right way. It never went the right way because we chose to live by someone else's idea for us and not our own idea. Do what you want to do. And if it doesn't work, try again. If it doesn't work, try again. You're going to fall off the horse of life so many times. Every bone's going to hurt. Even the horse is going to be like, don't get back on me, bro. You need to get back on him. Don't worry about living by other people's standards. I'm not saying it's not important to... I got to be very clear on this. It's very important that you understand and that you take other people's opinions of you, of yourself. If they're good friends, if they're family that has proven to be your family. If somebody says, hey, I don't know if that's a good idea or anything for you, then take it into consideration. But don't let complete strangers tell you how you should live your life. Don't let the government tell you how you should live your life. Don't let teachers, don't let the system, anybody. You live your life how you want to live your life. That's happiness. I waited all my life to figure that out. And I'm thankful that I got to figure it out while I had time. I'm 50 years old and I have no money in the bank. I have a 30-year-old van that probably isn't worth more than $1,000, if that. But I'm happy. I got everything I need. I have good people in my life. I have good family in my life. I have memories of those that have passed on. I have food in my stomach, a roof over my head, gas in this van. I'm happy. I'm blessed. I'm thankful. I know of ways to make more money. I know of ways to get rid of this old van and get a new truck. But I don't need that. That's not what I need. That's what I thought I needed all my life. All my life I went through, I gotta get this, I gotta get that, I gotta get this, I gotta get that. I gotta do this to get that, I gotta work harder to get that, blah, blah. It's never happy though. Just figure out a way to get happy. In your 20s, you're gonna go through a lot of stuff. You may find the right person, you may decide to get married. Marriage is a whole different type of teenage love. Doesn't always work out. Sometimes it does and sometimes it doesn't. Unfortunately, marriage in our country has been on the downturn and people don't get married for the reasons they did 100 years ago. I certainly didn't get married for the reasons that people did. Well, I did. I got married because the person I married I loved. I did love her. I do love her. And I know at that time she did love me. But then life gets in the way. Jealousy and greed and all kinds of other little bad angels on your shoulder can ruin a marriage. If it comes down to marriage, make sure that somebody that you know for a fact that you can live with for the rest of your life. You know for a fact. I'll show my age by saying a quote from the 90s rap songs, a ride or die. Make sure you get somebody that's a ride or die. Somebody that you know will be your friend, not your partner, but your friend through it all, thick and thin. Too many folks nowadays they're dating for 6 months and they're getting married. And then they're getting divorced a year later. Make sure you know the person you're marrying. I imagine my ex-wife would have appreciated that advice too. Make sure that you respect the person that you marry. Not just from the day you get married and the day before you get married, but until the day that you both die. Take those oaths of marriage seriously. Maybe you won't get married. You don't have to. Nobody has to get married. It's not a thing. If you decide to go do it yourself and wander about, so be it. Just remember as you get older, as when you're younger, the whole respect your elder thing, as you get older, remember along the way that you're going to meet a lot of people. Be kind to them. Whether you like them or not, whether you know them or not, be kind. Always show altruism. Make altruism a part of your daily life. Show kindness whenever you can. Even if you turn out to be quote-unquote a bad person by society's standards, you turn out to be a bank robber, you can still be a respectful, altruistic bank robber. I know plenty of criminals, hardened criminals, that are some of the nicest people I've ever met. Go figure. Jesus once said that God doesn't just have rain fall on sinners, it falls on the good and the bad alike. Basically, nobody is better than anybody else is what he's saying. He also says that a bad person tells his children he loves them just as much as a good person. Never judge a book by its cover. Show altruism all throughout your life. Show kindness throughout your life. It doesn't mean you have to go out and donate. It doesn't mean you have to go out and, you know, volunteer 6,000 hours a week. It doesn't mean that. It just means be kind. Say hi to people. Open the door for them. Just be kind. Even if you're a bad person, quote unquote a bad person, when you cheat somebody, make sure you cheat them in a kind way. I know that sounds silly, but maybe you'll figure it out if you become that person. Never say I'm sorry too much. You're going to start doing that in your teenage years. Depending on how you were grown up or how you were raised, you'll always think things are your fault and you'll say you're sorry all the time. And what will happen by that is you will start to think that the rest of your life, it was your fault. Everything was your fault. Never say sorry for something that isn't directly caused by you. If your buddy does something to another buddy, you don't need to apologize for that. You can say to your other buddy, hey, I'm sorry this happened to you. But don't make it sound like it's your fault. Don't take the world on your shoulders, because you will not be able to carry it. Although, unfortunately, that's what you're going to be asked to do once you leave high school. The world will be on your shoulders, and it's going to be heavy. In your 20s, you're going to face marriage, you're going to face taxes, you're going to face all kinds of stuff. Your 20s is the time to live. Your 20s is the time to live. I thought when I was in my 20s, my time to live was already past. I thought maybe it was something I did during my childhood, maybe I missed out on it. Nope. Instead, I just blew through my 20s not even realizing that that was my time to live. Your 20s are, your early 20s to your late 20s are the time to experience. You can experience plenty of things while you're young, and you will experience plenty of things while you're young. But what you'll do when you're in your 20s, when you experience things, you'll learn from those things. You'll learn from some things in your childhood and in your teenage years, but your 20s is when you'll try things and you'll understand later on, shit, that was a mistake. Or, shit, I've been through this before in my 20s, how can I handle it now in my 40s? Use your 20s as a catapult. Catapult yourself into understanding what life is about. Read, learn, enjoy. Take the world by its horns and pull. Be respectful, be kind. Do what's expected of you by society. And I don't mean things that are against your will. I'm just saying the things that we as all in a society are expected to do. And that is whether pay your taxes or, you know, just be nice. Do those things. Do what's expected of you. Be a good citizen. See some trash on the ground, pick it up, put it in a trash can. Unfortunately, we've forgotten those kind of things. Take everything I said about your childhood and your teenage years about how you can change and revolutionize this world and start putting those things into effect in your 20s. And don't ever forget it. There are things now at 50 that I look back and I say, oh my God, they still haven't changed. I wish I had done something when I was younger. I wish I had gone and marched. I wish I had gone and went to a sit-out. I wish I had wrote a letter to my congressman. I didn't do any of those things. But then I'm thankful because I realize, well, I ain't dead yet. I can still do those things at 50 just as much as I could at 15. Always remember that you have a voice. And as long as you have a voice, you can use it. I won't get into your 30s. Your 30s is, your 30s, you're going to be living like you're still in your 20s. You're going to think, oh, I'm not 31. I'm still 28. But it's not true. Your 30s is going to be when you start reflecting. You're like, man, shit. Actually, a lot of guys I know, 30s, they didn't do nothing in their 30s. I didn't do anything in my 30s either. I'd be lying if I said I did. My 30s, I took it all for granted. Sometimes I look back at my friends that had their shit together. Like my friend Jay Theriault. He had his shit together. He had a plan. And he did it. And in his 30s, he was doing well for himself. In his 40s, he was doing well for himself. And I believe he's doing well for himself now. And if anybody should be giving you this advice, it's probably Jay Theriault, not me. Maybe I can get Jay to do a podcast with me or something. I don't know. But why I'm saying that is because you don't, once you get into your 20s and once you pass your 20s, you have no time to waste. Once you get past your 20s, that second bathtub is getting closer and closer by the minute. Do not waste any time. Time isn't real. There's no such thing as time, but there is such thing as time when it comes to our evolution and our birth to our death. You will die. We all die. It's just part of it. I'm not saying you gotta fear it. I'm not saying you even gotta think about it. Some people unfortunately pass in their 20s. Some people will unfortunately pass in their teens, in their childhood, their 30s, in their 40s, and their 50s. But some don't. I used to always say, oh, I'll never make it to 30. I ain't gonna worry about it. So I just lived my life recklessly because I said, I'll never make it to 30. Then I made it to 30 and I said, I'm never gonna make it to 40. So I'll just live my life the way I want to and recklessly live it. And there's nothing wrong with that as long as you're not hurting anybody else. I was hurting other people by my actions. Don't do the same thing. But what I'm getting at is that don't think that while death is around the corner at any given second, don't think that it's always around the corner. You can use that as an excuse not to perform your duties as a human being. Always remember to live in the now. You can't do anything about your future any more than you can do anything about your past. Live right now. Don't even worry about 10 minutes from now. Well, that's kind of the now. No, it's not. Right now is right now. 10 minutes from now is in the future. Can't do anything about your future. You're not guaranteed those 10 minutes, and you can't change your past. Live like the dog. Whether you're 50, 60, 75, 100, 15, 21, 38, live like the dog. The dog has no idea and doesn't care about what it did yesterday. It may have a premonition. It may have a remembrance of what it did. It may say, I'm pretty sure I went for a walk yesterday. I'm pretty sure I found that peanut butter sandwich when nobody was looking. It may remember that. And every once in a while, you'll watch a dog go back to a certain spot in the house. And you're like, why is the dog going there? It's because that's the last time I found a cookie over there. But he's not going back. He can't change where the cookie was. He's just going back on something he remembers. You can remember. You're going to remember. Unfortunately, you're going to suffer from remembering your past all your life. So your best thing that you can do while you're young is make sure that those memories when you're old like me are good memories. I have plenty of good memories and I thank God every day that I'm able to think of some of them. But unfortunately, I created by my own mind, my own self, by my own hand, I created plenty of bad memories. And sometimes those outweigh them. And so that's when you sit, if I could only go back, you can't go back. There's no going back. So instead of worrying about that later on in life, do what you can do now early on in life to correct and make sure that you don't make those kind of memories that you have to go back or want to go back because you can't go back. Live in the now. Be kind in the now. Age, it's going to happen. You're going to get older. You're going to think in your 20s that you're better than anybody in their 30s. And smarter than anybody in their teens. And then in your 30s, you're going to be like, oh, I'm better than anybody in my 20s and better than anybody in my 40s. And no, you're going to get old too. No matter how cool you think you are because you're young, you ain't doing anything special that I didn't already do. And I probably did it better than you. Someday when you get to 50, you can sit there and brag about how you did it better than that kid. It's all just going to start falling into place. Everything's going to start seeming like it's just the same shit every day. This may happen in your 20s, it may happen in your teens, it may happen in your 30s, may not happen to you at all. But eventually almost everybody goes through this wake up, same shit, different day. Only you can change that. If it gets repetitive, if it's a repeating cycle of life every day, I gotta get up, I gotta work, and I gotta go do this, and I gotta go pay this bill, and then tomorrow I gotta get up and I gotta do the same thing all over again. Only you can change that. Most people I know that complain about that kind of stuff are the people that created all those bills. It's, I gotta get up and I gotta work 12 hours today so I can pay all these bills off. Where are your bills from? Oh, from things that you didn't really need, but you wanted them, so you bought them and now you're sitting here complaining about it a year later about how you have to pay those things off for the rest of your life. That's what I was saying earlier. Find something you love doing and do it for the love of doing it, not for the gains of doing it. You'll go through a stage where you'll buy everything that you think it's cool to have. You'll go through the competition stage where you gotta be better than your buddies. Your buddy will have a brand new truck and you'll be like, oh, I gotta go out and get a new truck. So, you know, Charlie's not the only one with a new truck. That's just vanity. We're gonna go through vanity. You're gonna go through vanity all your life. Vanity means that you want something because you want to look superior to other people, whether you're friends, your family, or complete strangers. I'd say 98% of the world is complete vanity. And then you have the people that live in huts in the middle of Kenya that aren't vanity. I don't know. Maybe there's a guy in Kenya that's living in a hut going, hey, I gotta get a better spear than the guy next to me. I don't know. Don't be vain. Find out what vanity means. Start to recognize it around you. See through it and move on. When shit gets repetitive, change the cycle. If you don't like the way it's going or if you don't like doing the same thing over and over again, change the cycle. It doesn't have to be bathtub the bathtub with nonsense in the middle. You can change the nonsense. As long as you do it and it doesn't hurt anybody around you or yourself, do it. Never allow somebody to tell you how to live your life. That's all it is, folks. It really is just a merry-go-round. It's really just the same horse going around in a circle from bathtub to bathtub because we allow it to be that way. I complain about it all the time, man. It's just the same shit. Like today, I woke up this morning and I said, wasn't it just Thursday like yesterday? Nope, it was a week ago. That's because for the last 7 days, I've been doing the same exact shit that I did the 7 days previous to that. Only person that can change that is me. Not anybody else. Nobody else's fault. It's my own fault. It's not even my fault. It's just part of life. But I can change that. I can make my routine different. Make sure you make your routine different. Don't wait around. No matter what age group you're in life, don't wait around for somebody else to give it to you. That's not how it works. Sure, there'll be people along the way. There'll be systems. There'll be agencies, government agencies, whatever, that are willing to give you all that stuff. Don't be one of those people. And I'm not saying when you need a helping hand, don't ask for help. If you're hungry, if you're living on the streets, get a helping hand. But don't be one of those people that just sit around waiting for somebody else to give it to them. I was one of those people. I was enabled by so many. And boy, was it nice. I never had to do anything. It would just be given to me. But then you'll get a wake-up call. And nobody will give you stuff anymore. And you'll not know how to get it your own self. And if you come to that situation in your older years, you'll be like, shit, this whole time I've just been letting people do it for me. I never learned how to do it for myself. When I was divorced, I didn't learn how to cook for about 10 years because my ex-wife did all the cooking. I never learned how to cook. My ex-wife used to make great Spanish dishes like chicken and rice and all kinds of, there was always stuff with chicken. She was a big chicken. I guess it's a Spanish thing. I don't know, but she was good at it. But I didn't learn how to do any of that stuff, and I ate microwave dinners for the first 10 years. Don't be that person. Because even though while it may feel nice that, hey, this girl's giving me everything I need, or that dude's giving me everything I need, or this public assistance program is giving me everything I need, if those things end, you will be screwed. I actually have somebody very special and important in my life that will happen to very soon because he doesn't seem to want to put any effort into learning for himself. Don't smoke. Don't start smoking. Don't think about smoking. Don't do anything that hurts your body. That's what we're going to move on to next is your health. In your 20s, in your 30s, when you're in your teens, you know, you're healthy. You might be a fat kid, whatever. Everybody's a fat kid at one time. I was a fat kid at one time. They still don't understand. Nobody can explain how I was a short, fat kid and then I grew into a tall, lanky, skinny kid. It just happens. Maybe you'll be fat all your life. I don't know. But what I'm saying is your health is, it's sad because they took away gym classes and all that for a lot of you younger guys that, you know, you don't have gym like I had gym. Gym when I was a kid, man, you had to run around the school. You had to do all kinds of crazy shit, climb ropes, everything. Like, it was nuts. It was basically military training in school. But they don't do that now because they're afraid it's going to hurt somebody's feelings. So, but what I'm getting at is your health. In your 20s, you're going to experiment. You're going to do drugs. You're going to do alcohol. You know, hopefully you're going to experiment with sex, but hopefully you're smart because be very, very, very careful when it comes to that. So get healthy. Be healthy. Understand that you are given one thing and one thing only when you're born, and that's the body, the suit, the armor, the shell, whatever you want to call it, everything that your mind is inside of a shell, inside of a uniform. That is your body. Realize that you only have that one body. I don't care what kind of operations they have, what kind of supplements they have, what kind of protein drinks they have, whatever. Nothing will correctly fix your body except for yourself. Understand that young. Your body is your temple. My temple is all out of whack. All out of whack. Smoking, drinking, not doing the things that I was told to do when I was young. I had people that were smart that told me to do things. Hey, you should stretch. You're a tall guy. I didn't listen to any of them. And now here I am every day wishing I had listened to those people. I can tell you that right there. That's one key piece of advice. Stretch. It doesn't matter if you're 4'11" or 6'11". Stretch every day. Stretch. Try to stretch at least as much as you possibly can. Go for walks. You don't have to go running. You don't have to run a marathon. You don't have to, you know, ride a bike down a major road and screw up traffic because you think you're being cool and you're doing something different. No, I'm just trying to anger bikers. But anyways, but take care of your body, because if you don't, you're going to see the other bathtub before you know it. At 50, it hurts, man. But I got nobody to blame but myself. Respect your body. Understand that it's your temple. It's important. It's important that you understand that. They don't stress that enough when we're young. They don't tell us enough that when we're young that this is the only one you got. I don't care if you become Elon Musk rich and you got $200 billion. You ain't getting another body. As I sit here and light my cigarette. Trust me, there's not a time when I make these audio files and I don't think to myself, hey, you should be listening to your own advice. You're not going to get another body. I think the only reason guys like Elon Musk and them are even worried about AI and robots is because they're hoping that somehow they can slip their consciousness into those things. That ain't going to work out. So, fear. You're going to be fearful all your life. You're fearful now when you're in your teenage years. You're going to be fearful in your 20s and your 30s and your 40s and your 50s and your 70s and your 80s. You're always going to be afraid of something. There's always going to be a boogeyman in the room. That boogeyman is usually always going to be a boogeyman that was created by some other man telling you to be afraid of it to either get your political vote or your money. The only person that can change that fear is yourself. Most people only fear things because they don't understand them. Look into that fear that you have, try to understand it, and then overcome it through that wisdom and knowledge that you've learned by it. And if you can't, then realize there's nothing you can do about it and move on. Blanket right out of your head. The fear of nuclear weapons is a big one. When I was growing up, everybody was afraid of nuclear war. They're still afraid of nuclear war. It's worse now than it probably was when I was a kid. There's not much you can do about it. The only thing you can do about it is by using that voice I told you earlier that you have and change the way things are run. But there's no point of sitting around waiting for bombs to drop and worrying about it, because there's nothing you can do about it. There could be an asteroid the size of New York City headed this way right now. There's nothing you can do about it. You're not worried about that, right? You're worried about nuclear weapons, or you're fearful of this. You're fearful of that. You're fearful of something you saw on TikTok. You're fearful of this disease or that country or this minority or this group or that political party. You're fearful of all these things, but the things that will most likely kill you, you don't even know about. There could be something, some little cell right now forming in your body that you don't even know is going to kill you in 12 years. And you're going to go to the doctors in 12 years and say, I'm sorry, but we didn't see this earlier and you got 6 months to live. And that whole time you're going to say, 6 months. The last 6 years, all I did was worry about nuclear war and Donald Trump and Black Panther movement. It's not going to matter. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about that little molecule either. There's a way that you can, maybe the doctor's wrong. If you think you can find a way around it, then try. But don't waste all your time doing that either. Use that 6 months to live your life. Always remember, and I'm not trying to make any of us sound small, but always remember that we are nothing but a drop in the bucket. There have been many a wise man, many a rich man that have gone before me, and they didn't gain anything more than I did, or will, or you will. Death comes to everyone. Don't sit around and wait for it, and don't sit around worrying about it. Live. Fear is what runs our societies, unfortunately. People will always be afraid. Unfortunately, fear creates hatred, and hatred creates death. Do your very best to understand what the word hatred means, and do your very best to avoid it at all times. Don't live a life of fear and hatred. Even if you find others that fear and hate the same things you do and you think you're part of something, they won't be there when you're dying. It'll just be you and those fears and those hatreds. And you'll be sitting there just like that guy that found out he's only got 6 months to live. And you'll say, I spent the last 30 years spreading fear and hatred. That's not the way you want to get into that last bathtub. Do your very best to understand those fears and understand that hatred and dispel it. Move on from it. Get away from it. If your friends and family are tied into those things, see if you can help them get away from it too. If they're not willing to budge, walk away. It's a hard truth, I know. I'm not saying you never have to talk to them again, but don't put yourself in a situation where you have to listen to the same fears and hatreds over and over again, because that person's not either willing to A, look into those things themselves, or B, try to solve those situations with the help of others, but instead just wants to be negative Nancy and complain about it all the time. Being negative Nancy will never change anything. It will only produce more fear and more hatred. Leave Nancy in the dust. I've done that recently with a certain friend, and I feel bad because I believe that I believe that something that I should hold true is that I should do my very best to help my elders, especially widows and such. And this one person is a widow and an elder, but she unfortunately had her mindset early on in life, and now in her late 70s, she still has that mindset, and she's filled with fear and hatred towards others, and I can't be around that. And even though I believe it's my duty to do what I can to help that person or help comfort that person or even give her company, I can't be around that. And so I've broken off ties. And maybe I'll pay a price for that someday. Maybe that will be added to the scale. But in order to keep putting myself through that, it's going to, in turn, if you hang out with negative Nancy, negative Nancy's going to start rubbing off on you. Move on. You're going to run into multiple challenges in your life, from being a kid all the way up to being an adult. As you get to be an adult, things are going to get more serious, and it's going to be more complicated to get over those challenges, but you can get over those challenges. It's like I said about the horse earlier. You're going to fall off. You're going to get back on. The horse is going to be like, dude, you're way too heavy. Stop getting back on. You got to be like, I'm sorry, horse. Punch him in the face. Do whatever you got to do. Get back on the horse. You got to do it. There's only two ways to do this. There's only two ways that you can do anything that has to do with a challenge or a roadblock in your life. That is either keep picking up your shield and your sword, or drop your shield and your sword and allow yourself to be impaled by that challenge. And by that, I mean giving up. I've given up plenty of times in my life. Plenty of things that I never succeeded in or lost because I was not willing to either A, fight for it, B, change my ways, or C, believe and have faith in that thing. My marriage definitely being one of them. There's going to be challenges. There's going to be roadblocks. There's going to be speed bumps. There's going to be walls. And 90% of the time, you should be able to get around them. There's got to be a way. And as long as that way doesn't hurt you or hurt anybody else involved, do it. If it's something that you cannot beat, now again, if it's something that you cannot beat after trying many times, not just simply saying, oh, I can't beat this one, then learn to live with it. There's no other way. Learn to live with it. Just like that little cell in your body that's growing, that's going to kill you, or that meteorite that you're never going to see until it actually hits the earth, put it behind you, work around it. Life is going to be filled with obstacles. No matter how hard you think it really is, it could be worse. And if you don't believe that, go take a look around the world. Be thankful for where you are. If you're an American and you're hearing this, be thankful for the country that you live in. This country is so messed up right now, it's not even funny. It is not, this country is not run or enjoyed the way that it should be by what it was established for in the beginning. But the only people that can change that now are you. But be thankful for where you are. No matter how messed up you think the system is, be very thankful for where you are. Because I know for a fact that we are blessed to be in this country. No matter how hard it is, no matter how messed up it is. I don't agree with anything. I don't trust my government. I don't trust my local government. I don't trust the police. I don't trust the firemen. I don't trust anybody that works for the system. But I'm thankful for where I am. I'm proud to be an American. But I believe in the old way of America, and caring for others and inviting others and helping others, not what it's become. Be thankful that you have the opportunities that you have here. They probably won't be around for long. Civil liberties are shrinking on a daily basis, and it's up to you and your young voices to change that. Again, I can't stress that enough. On the same note, you're going to have plenty of successes in life. You're going to get the job you always wanted, or the promotion you always wanted, or the girl you always wanted, or the guy you always wanted, the car, the house, whatever. Just remember that all those things are materialistic. And you should be proud of them if you worked hard for them and you got them. You should be happy about that. But remember, they're not going with you. Nothing's going with you. Once you enter that second bathtub, you're not taking it. That bathtub won't be filled with your dead carcass and all your luxuries of life. It'll just be you, naked. That's it. You're going to go out the same way you came in, with nothing. Try to go out with memories, good memories, and love in your heart. Do your very best to understand the differences between your success in life by ways of materialistic things and gains, and by success in your life by being a good person, a loving person, a giving person. Those things you can take with you. Strive to take those things with you. Enjoy your success. If you earned it, there's nothing wrong with enjoying it. If you want to be rich and you make it to be rich, fine. There's nothing wrong with it. Do that. But just remember, they're just things. This whole scenario, this whole game that we're playing is about one thing, and that is the accumulation of more things. So we start our life early and we say, okay, well, now I'm on my own. What am I going to do? Well, I got to do this to get that. I got to do this to get that. And I got to do that to get this. And that's basically what we all do. We just accumulate more things, but we're not taking any of it with us. Accumulate the things that you can take with you. And that's knowledge. That's wisdom. That's love. Unconditional love. That's beauty. That's all the things that you cherish should be the way that you feel in your heart, mind, body, and soul. Not the things that you cherish externally that give you creature comforts, such as an Audi A6, a 6-bedroom mansion. Well, I guess it wouldn't be a 6-bedroom, but like a 60-bedroom. Those things, you can cherish them for while they last, and you can be happy for your success, but remember, they're not going with you. Failure will come up just as much as success. You will fail and fail and fail and fail. And just as much as this life is about accumulating more things, it's just about as much as learning from your mistakes and your failures. Do not mess up and then just keep going. Mess up, look at how you messed up, analyze the data, and make sure you store the solution for that problem if you're lucky enough to have a future and that failure comes again. Learn from your failures and your mistakes. This is way longer than I thought it was going to be. I only can think of one person that will listen to the whole thing. And if you do, buddy, I pray that you understand what I'm talking about. I think you do. It's a roller coaster. Failures are when you're on a roller coaster and you're going through the loop-de-loop and you're upside down and all of a sudden the roller coaster stops and you're stuck in the upside down position for 2 hours while they fix the mistake. That's the failure in your life. You're gonna fail. You're gonna get stuck on the roller coaster. Don't get worried. Don't unbuckle yourself and try to climb down. Just wait. Things have a way of working themselves out. Believe that there's something else out there. Religion is man-made. It doesn't mean that God is man-made. It doesn't mean that you have to believe in anything that another man tells you is correct. Oh, this is the way. Don't go the other way. Don't listen to what that guy over there is saying about his way being the right way. My way is the only way. There's too many guys out there screaming that. Believe what you want to believe. What you feel is right. Whether you want to believe that there's a God, all-knowing God that loves us and created all this, or you just want to believe that the universe has a way of working itself out and it's all chaos and the best you can do in that chaos is be kind, or whether aliens dropped us off here 6,000 years ago and said they'd be back, or whether you don't want to believe in anything at all and just say, hey, it's all just by mistake that we're here. There's many ideas and many philosophies about how we got here. I've done my very best to try to look at all of them, and I've decided what I believe in. It's your own decision to do the same. It's not somebody else's decision. Everybody can tell you something's great for you, but until that man can prove to you that it's the correct way, and even if he does prove to you that it's the correct way, maybe he's proven it to you that it's his correct way. Make sure that in your heart, mind, body, and soul that it's the correct way that you want to live and you want to believe. Believe in what you want to believe in. If you want to believe that your God is Pikachu, believe that your God is Pikachu. Do whatever you want. That's between you and your maker. You and your creator. But it's important to believe in something. All my life I didn't believe. And the problem with that is there's nothing wrong with being an atheist, a person who doesn't believe in a God or a higher power. There's nothing really wrong with that. What I find wrong with it is that I never realized this while I was one of those people that never believed that there was something else The problem is that you just believe there's nothing else and you kind of give up. You kind of give up the imagination. You say, okay, well, there is no God. God didn't create us. We're just things that came out of a puddle. You know, we're dinosaur poop that evolved into humankind. Well, that's fine. You can say that, but have you ever studied it? Have you ever looked at it? Because that's where the belief comes from. Anybody can say, hey, this is how it happened. But unless they can explain to you the belief of how that happened, they have no idea what they're talking about. I don't know exactly what I believe. I've been taught and I've learned many a things, but I find it very hard to believe that it's for no reason at all. And so instead I choose to believe that there's a reason. And hopefully you'll come to the eventuality that there is a reason. You can decide that it's your own reason. Maybe you're here just because you're here. Maybe you are God. There are some that say that. We're all gods. Maybe we are. Maybe it's all just a video game. Some alien on another planet is playing my life. I don't know. You can believe whatever you want. What I'm saying is don't allow others to let you or tell you what to believe in. I said it early on in this, and I'll say it again. Never allow another man to tell you who you are, what you are, or what you can be. Never allow another man to tell you his truth and that's the only truth. And never allow a man to hold you down. Never allow a man to put his knee on your neck and hold you down. Whether it's God, aliens, or dinosaur poop, there is one thing that is guaranteed in this life, and that is every man has his own individual freedom and his own individual free will. You are free to make your own choices. Unfortunately, in a lot of places in this world, that is not true. That person is still free to make their choices, but it's very hard to make those choices and to go on living. God forbid you ever have to come to that situation, but there may be times that it will test you. And you'll want to make a right decision in your own mind, but if you do it, it may have penalties. But if it's something that you believe in and something that you know is true in your own heart, you'll be willing to accept those penalties. Believe in something. It doesn't have to be a God, but it also doesn't have to be, I believe in nothing. You can believe in something. Always ask questions. Always be curious. Never give up on being curious. As you move on through life, things are going to change. You're not going to be cool anymore. You're not going to be in your 20s and be cool, hang out at the nightclub with your buddies and getting girls and going to parties. And in your 30s, you're not going to be in your 30s anymore. You know, be like, oh, shit, I'm not in my 30s anymore. Yeah, now I'm in my 40s. Well, I'm not going to make it to 50, so I don't care. I'm just going to live like I'm in my 30s again. Then you're going to get to 50 and you'll be like, oh, shit, I'm here. You're going to realize things are changing all around you. They've been changing the whole time, but you just haven't been paying attention. That's why I told you it's important to keep your mouth shut, your eyes open, your ears open, and watch the things that are changing around you. Do that while you're young. Don't wait till you're 50 to do it, because then you'll expect the changes. You'll understand why they're changing, and you'll have a better grip on it when you get older. Instead of having to go back and try to figure out where did it all change. I've been doing that. Everything's going to change, and you're going to get older. And as you get older, you're going to start realizing these changes. You're going to start realizing that things are pretty messed up. And if they're still messed up, it's nobody's fault but your own. Even if you had nothing to do with it, even if it's something that happened on the other side of the country, it's just as much your fault as it is theirs, because you didn't do anything in your early years. You didn't do that thing that I tried to give you advice on earlier and try to make a change for the good. You didn't speak your voice. You didn't vote your vote. You didn't stand up for the things that you believe in are right for everybody. And so later on, you complain about it. And you say, oh, I can't believe they're doing that. They're not doing it. You're doing it. You help them do it. Things are going to change. You're going to get older. You're going to start reflecting, just like I'm reflecting right now. This whole audio is about me reflecting on life. And you're going to reflect, and you're going to see the mistakes you made. And you're going to see the things you did good, too. But you're going to reflect. And what I was telling you earlier on is make sure that those reflections are reflections on good things. More good and less bad. You're going to make mistakes. You're going to mess up. You're going to fuck up. You're going to hurt people. You're going to lie. You're going to steal. You're going to cheat. No matter how good of a person you are, you're going to do all those things. But make sure you do less of those things and more of the important things, so that you don't have to think about those things when you get older and reflect. Because you will get old and things will change and you will reflect. Take time to sit by the sea so that you can reflect. Do that all your life. Don't just do it when you get older. Find a quiet spot where there's nobody else around. I don't mean go to the beach and hang out and sit in the sun. I mean go find a quiet spot by the ocean where there's nobody else. Put your phone to the side. Put all your other thoughts to the side. I'm not saying you gotta meditate or pray. I'm just saying go there and let the ocean speak to you. And realize that you are but a drop in a huge bucket. Reflect all your life. Not just when you get older. Take time to sit by the sea. Listen closely and you'll hear a whisper off those waves. That whisper will be different for every man and every woman. But it's there. You just gotta be willing to listen. It'll speak in volumes to you. It'll tell you, it'll show you how small you are, but it'll also tell you how important you are and how loved you are. And every time you get up and you walk away from that ocean and from that whisper, be thankful. Even if you come away from it with discouragement, even if something that you were trying to work out in your head and the waves just made it worse, be thankful that you were given the opportunity to enjoy that moment long enough to realize that there's something greater than you and how beautiful it is. And scary. And scary. There's beauty in fear sometimes. Be thankful. Take time to sit by the sea. You're going to lose people along the way. You're going to lose your parents. And you're going to lose friends, family, brothers, sisters, animals. You're going to lose a lot of animals. It's just as hard as family. I don't care what people say. It's hard. And you can sit around, you can, woe is me, woe is me, I can't keep going on. She left me and she's gone now, or my dad's gone, my mother's gone, I can't do this myself, blah, blah. You're going to think all those things, but got to get back on that horse. That person that left, no matter, even if they are a very selfish person, they're not going to want you to sit around and just woe is me all the time. You got to keep going. I see it. I go to funerals and I see people crying. There's nothing wrong with being sad about losing someone. A lot of times, though, I see crocodile tears, fake tears. I see people crying and crying and crying and crying so that they can get others to feel bad for them, not for the person that's literally in the ground in front of them. And that's sad. Don't be one of those people. Don't take another person's loss as your own gain. You're going to lose people. Celebrate their life. Don't mourn them. Don't mourn them. Remember them. Talk to them. Act like they're not even gone. I talk to my mother and my father all the time. My siblings. My best friend Grace, who's a dog, who died months ago, and I still talk to her every day. They're never really gone as long as you keep their memory alive. They're never gone. They may not answer you back, but they're still there. Believe that. And I can give you an example of where you can see them or where you can feel them. And that's when you're sitting by the ocean listening to the whispers. So I believe in somehow, some way, some shape, some form, that whisper is that combined love of those that went before me talking to me. You're going to lose people. Remember them. Grieve for them for short times and keep going. They would want you to do that. It's very important while you're young to understand just how important your parents are. If you still have both of them, if they're kind and if they're loving, even if that means they're kind and loving their own little way, they could be harsh at certain times. They could seem like they're mean in certain times. They're doing that because they're doing what's in your best interest. Unfortunately, there are plenty of parents out there that do things not in their best interest of children. And I don't know if it's just as important to keep them in your heart. Unfortunately, some parents are like animal parents, and they raise them, they do what they have to do, and then get rid of them, kick them out of the nest. Some people are raised differently. I don't want to judge those people. My father and my mother were that way in a certain way. You were old enough to get your own job, you get out, and you do that. But what I'm getting at is if you have parents that have done their duty in raising you or tried to raise you the best they can, respect that and cherish that and love them, what the sacrifices that they're making. You will one day make those same sacrifices. When I lost my mother, it literally felt like, literally, it's not an exaggeration, it's not a feeling, it literally felt like someone had gone into my body and taken a part of my life out of me. Losing your mother, the person that gave birth to you, the person that you were inside of her body for 10 months. They say 9 months, but it's really 10. But anyways, you were in her body. She fed you through her body. She kept you warm and safe in her body. She didn't plop you out of the microwave after 10 minutes. She carried you So even no matter how bad your relationship may be, respect those 9 months, those 10 months. Because if you have a loving relationship, and maybe even if you don't, you will feel that loss eventually. And when you do, you will probably, I would think, that you will feel the same way that I did, that a piece of you is now missing. My mother had her faults as much as she did her awesome sides. My mother was cool. My mother let me experience life the way I wanted to experience life. Did that work out for me? Probably not. Not her fault. Not her fault at all. She gave me the choice. Our way or your way. She was a good woman. She was a good mother. My father was a good man and a good father. We never saw eye to eye. I didn't listen to him the ways I should have. But everything that I say to you now is things that I learned from him, and I just now realizing it, that I am him. I became him. And I can't be more thankful for that. Because no matter our differences and no matter my daddy issues about how my father never played baseball with me or anything like that, my father did what he was supposed to do. He was more of a man than I will ever be. Respect your parents. Respect those that raised you. Whether they carried you or not, respect those that raised you. And realize the sacrifices they're making for you or made for you. You will go through plenty of loss in your life. Your pets, your friends, your family, your siblings, your parents, or those that raised you directly, those are the ones that you will mourn. Respect that. Be kind. I said it before earlier on, altruism. Altruism is to do something selflessly for the good of another. Make that a foundation of your life. You don't have to go out of your way. You don't have to give the shirt off your back if you don't have another shirt. You don't have to give your last dollar that might feed you to give it to somebody else unless you feel like that's something that you're willing to do. Don't ever feel obligated to commit acts of altruism. Don't feel obligated that you have to give more than you can, but give. The greatest truth that any religion made by man can give you is something that's intricately already inside of every and each one of us, no matter what religion or faith we have or we're brought up in, and that is to give. To help someone else. Good and bad people do it all the time. There was a story recently of a man who had just got out of prison after 25 years of murdering another man during gang violence. There was a car that had flipped over with two children trapped inside, and the car was on fire, and nobody ran over to that car but that one man that just got out of jail, and he got those children out, catching himself on fire and being burned badly. A few months later, he recovered. He did something bad, and he went back to jail. And they ran a headline that said, "Once a hero." That man, no matter what his crime, is still a hero. Society has a funny way of judging and characterizing everybody. Be kind, no matter how hardcore you think you are. You are no tougher than the next person next to you. Everybody has their strong strengths, and everybody has their weakness. Never think that your strength is greater than another man's weakness, because it may be on the flip side and you don't know it. I'll end this all with four good things to live by. Let your word be your bond. Do your very best to speak your word with truth and honesty. You're gonna lie, but do your best not to become a compulsive liar. Make your word your bond means that if you tell somebody you're gonna do something, you do it. Never tell somebody that you're able to do something that you know wholeheartedly that you cannot do. That'll only lead to hurt, confusion, loss of money, loss of friends, loss of family, whatever. Do not say that you can do something if you know that you cannot do it. There's nothing wrong with that. If you think people are going to look down on you because you don't know how to do it, and you're lying just to make them happy, trust me, it won't work out. Let your word be your bond. Your yes is yes, and your no is no. If somebody asks you a question, don't give 1,500 reasons why it's a yes or 1,500 reasons why it's a no. Just say yes or no. And they say, "I need more than a yes or no." You say, "My yes is my yes and my no is my no." And that's all you need, because no other words are more important. People go to court. They ask the people to put their hand on the Bible and say, "Do you promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?" You don't even need the Bible. You just say, "Yes, I'm going to tell the truth." And if they don't want to believe you, you say, "Well, what makes this Bible any more definition than my yes than me saying yes?" Let your word be your bond. Number two, don't take anything personally. I cannot stress you how important this is throughout your whole life. You're going to take things personally all the time. You're going to say, man, that was done against me. That guy doesn't like me. Or why are they talking about me? Why is this going on? This is all because these people don't like the way I do things. Blah, 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 blah. Don't care. Don't take it personally. If people are telling you you're a failure, say, I'll listen to your opinion on this matter, and I'll respect your opinion. I'm not going to take it personally and move on. Don't take it personally. It's just the way it all works out. It's how the cycle goes around. Things happen. Don't take it personal. God's not against you. You know, you're dying in a, you're falling off a cliff and you're hanging by a string, and you know there's no way of getting back up that hill. And you're sitting there in your last couple of minutes of thought and you're saying, why? Why? Why'd you do this to me? Don't take it personal. You were just there at that time. And it had to happen. Don't assume anything. And this takes it from the personal thing. Don't take anything personal and don't assume anything. People assume things all the time. I recently had a friend that left me a pretty cold text message saying that I was an asshole because I never called them back. And I was being selfish. And I took it personally. And I assumed that he was right. And I was going to reply, and the reply was either going to be a mean reply or even a you're not looking at it from my point of view reply. And then I realized the best thing to do is not reply at all, because he unfortunately assumed that I didn't care about him, and I wasn't going to sit there and try to make him think that I care about him. Don't assume anything. Don't assume that people are out to get you. Don't assume that your boss doesn't like you. Don't assume that your girlfriend's cheating on you. Don't assume this. Don't assume that. Unless it's factual, unless you can find out the facts on that, don't assume it. It'll lead to downfall every time. What happens is when you assume things and you take things personally, you start thinking less of yourself. So everything, even if people are talking behind your back and people are trying to give you a complaint personally, they're doing that because they're trying to put on you a feeling of guilt. So the more you assume, the more you take things personally, the more you'll think of being guilty. Yeah, for a little bit you'll be like, oh, those assholes are talking behind me or blah, blah. But then you'll start thinking, well, are they talking about me because I messed up? And you'll start feeling guilt. And guilt will kill you. Number four, and a very important one, and the last one, is only do your best. That's all you can do. That's all the world, the universe, God, whatever, the aliens, your friends, your family, your dog, anybody can ever expect from you is to do your best and your best only. And by doing your best only means to do what is within your means to do. If it's within your means to do that, if you don't have to go to an outside source to get more resources to do that thing, then if it's, that means it's in your, that's your best. If you have to take your best and go outside of your best and ask for others to help or spend more money than you have or anything like that to do more than your best, that's just going to hurt you in the long run. And that may sound selfish in some ways. But it's not. You can only do your best. It took me a while to learn that. I tried to save the world for a couple of years. I realized I'm not going to be able to save the world. And it was selfish of me to think that I could save the world. And so now when I sit back and I don't do what I used to do as much, and people will say, well, that's selfish. You don't put in the time and the effort like you used to. No, because before I was doing too much. And I was hurting myself mentally and physically, financially and emotionally. And thankfully, I learned the lesson that I can only do my best. And that's it. Because when I do more than my best, when I go that extra mile, I'm hurting myself, no matter how much I'm hurting other people. And that's where it sounds selfish. If you can go the extra mile to hurt people or help people, then yeah, we should do it. But at the same time, if it's going to hurt you, that's not going to help anybody. There could be a guy right now in this ocean that I'm looking at sitting out there a mile out, and he's drowning, and I want to go out there, and I want to help him, but I know that my very best, I'm only going to get a couple of hundred yards, because I smoke a pack a day, and that man may drown right there in front of me, but by me going all the way out there and trying to save him, I'm just going to kill both of us, and that doesn't help anything. Or even if I was to get out there, and somehow he was able to get back, and I die out there, that's a sacrifice that I was willing to do. And maybe I did more than my best by doing it. But who am I hurting by me dying out there? That'll be one of the trickiest parts of your life is trying to figure out what's selfishness and what's for the best. You'll never master it. So instead, just do your best. When you're doing that, make sure that you think. Think about what I just said. I can swim out there and maybe I can help that man. And maybe I'll die. And maybe that's fine. Maybe I sacrifice myself for the life of another. But am I sacrificing myself and am I going to hurt somebody by doing that? And I'm not talking about the people that will mourn for you with crocodile tears in your grave. I'm talking to people that are directly affected in your life. That will be directly affected by your loss. So while it's honorable and it's brave to go out and do something like that, you have to think of the repercussions. My repercussion earlier, my other problem was, yes, I used to do more than my best. I used to put in all the effort to go out and save the world. But the problem was, the repercussion of that was I began to hurt. It sounds very selfish, even as I sit here and say it, but you have to define what's selfish and what's honorable and what's your best yourself. Can't do it for you, and nobody else can either. You will wake up as a baby and you will scream and you will yell because you were just in so much safety and now you have no idea what the hell is going around you. And then you will become a child and hopefully you will experience things and you'll love things and you'll ask why. And then you'll become a teenager and you'll have more questions and ask why and why. And you'll understand and then you won't understand and then you'll see other things and the roller coaster is going 100 miles an hour. And then you hit your 20s and you're up around the loop-de-loops and things are getting tricky, but you're still enjoying it. And then you get stuck. The elevator breaks down, roller coaster breaks down, you're stuck. And you're in your 30s, and you're like, what the hell? It's all the same. This ride exactly the same. It's the same ride as it was yesterday. It's not as exciting anymore. And then you hit your 40s, and you'll be like, man, I need to get back on that roller coaster. I need to get back on that roller coaster. I need to enjoy this. And you get older and older and older and older and older. And then one day you'll be crying again, just like you were as a baby, because you'll be scared. And you'll be filled with fear, and you'll be saying, why did it happen? Why? I'm just as confused now as an old man as I was as a baby. It's all just a ride. It's a game. Enjoy it while you can. Don't fear it in the end, though. Do your very best not to. Realize that, for all you know, because nobody can tell you yes or no on this, for all you know, this is just a chapter. There could be many, many chapters. Live your life and enjoy it. But remember, be kind. Live like the dog. Don't worry about what the dog did yesterday. Don't worry about the cookie that the dog may get tomorrow. Live like the dog and be happy in the moment. Be kind to those that are in the moment with you. I love you all. I wish you nothing but the best of luck. Believe in yourself and believe in something greater. Walk in light.